for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, September the 3rd, 2016. Carter B. Todd is the speaker of the service, teaching on sins that bring a curse of death.
That was great, ladies. Enjoyed all of that. God is good. You know what? I've never taken a drug in my life. My kids do. Never was molested. But this is what I've learned. One time a girl confronted me because I'd never been molested, and yet I teach on it, but it was really a revelation from God about all of that. But what I learned is demons are not particular. I didn't have to be molested to suffer a lot of the things that people... I think there's molestation in the bloodline somewhere.
Yes.
And those familiar spirits passed down on me. And I was suffering a whole lot of stuff from sexual sin and molestation that I never did. Nothing ever happened to me. But yet I was suffering. I come here, I find out I'm suffering the same things they suffered. And demons are not particular. They're bullies. And their plan is to torment you and to keep you from living. So I praise the Lord for the ministry of the casting out of demons, because they're bullies. And Jesus has given us power over them. And it gives me great joy to strip them of their power. Okay, and we're going to do that this morning. The other night I did some generational things, and today I'm going to talk about some specifics that may be giving you problems in your life that you would have never connected the dot to what it is. So we'll just jump right in. If you have your Bibles, you can open to 1 John chapter 5. You know, when you read the Word of God, it is alive, and it can speak to you something different every time you read it. I've read this scripture probably 1,000 times over the course of my walk with the Lord, and it never really spoke to me. But one day, it spoke to me and caused me to stop and ask the Lord. In fact, I have a date up here. It was 2010. When this scripture was made known to me. It's verse 16, and I'm only going to read the last portion of it. No, it's the whole scripture. If any man see his brother sin a sin, not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And that stopped me dead in my tracks. And I had, and of course, the first question that came to my mind was, well, Lord, what is a sin unto death? And what a strange scripture to be in the New Testament. Is there anything that we cannot pray for? Is there anything that is beyond forgiveness? We know that blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is the unforgivable. But what's a sin unto death? So, in my walk with the Lord, I had this spiritual bulletin board. And that question is put there. And eventually, God will answer my question. Sometimes it's immediate. Other times, it's a while before I get the answer. So, another day, I'm looking for another scripture in the Bible, and I'm thumbing like this. And I come across a page. If I didn't have so much stuff in my Bible, I would hold it up and show it to you. But in the margin, I see, thy die, 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 death, death, cut off, childless. Now, I had written that. I didn't put a date when I did that. I didn't even remember having done it. And I thought, good grief, what in the world is that? And as I started looking at it, that was the answer to the question on my bulletin board. Now, turn to Leviticus chapter 20. Remember we were talking about gravity is a physical law. And then there are spiritual laws in the Bible. This is in the Old Testament. But that doesn't mean it's not still a law. When he put those laws, the only law that was really altered was the salvation thing. In the Old Testament, they had to bring sacrifices to the tabernacle, shed the blood, sprinkle it. They had to do that once a year, all that. And then they were clean for another year, and then they had to do it every year, had to re-sacrifice until Jesus came. And he was the ultimate sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice. One shedding of the blood, one time for all of us. That part has changed. Now we don't have to bring a lamb and slay it on an altar. No, we go to Jesus. I had a picture show up in my mind one day, and I drew it. I wish I knew where all those pictures were, but it's still in my mind. And there was the throne of God, and Jesus and the Holy Ghost were all there. And then there were these lines like sun rays coming down from heaven. And on each of the lines were everything that he is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, healing, deliverance, you know, everything. And those things are eternally coming down from the throne of God, from Jesus Christ and from God. They are constantly coming down. And because he said on the cross, it is finished, it's a done deal. It's up to us now to receive those things from him. That's why I say when you praise the Lord, I think I did a teaching with the kids one time, maybe not here, but somewhere, with a funnel out of the kitchen, a funnel. You know, it's wide at the top, comes down to a little hole. And I see people as they praise like that funnel. If the funnel is up like this, it can catch a lot. If you stand like this, then you can't catch very much. So I try to teach children to don't be afraid to raise your hands. I tell you what, if $100 bills started falling out of the sky, you would be trying to catch as many as you could. And we should be the same way with the blessings of God. Okay, so I don't know where I was going with all that, but anyway. One time I told this friend of mine, and I'll just tell y'all right now, if I stop and go off on a tangent, remember where I was for me. I'm always chasing rabbits. So I get off over here, I forget where I was even going. She said, yeah, sometimes there's meat on them rabbits. But anyway. So is everybody at Leviticus chapter 20?
Amen.
When I started reading it, I began to see that there's many listed in this chapter, and they're sins. They are sins that are committed, and along with those sins, in the Old Testament, literally, if you did them, and there was that you should surely die. They stoned you to death.
Right.
It was literal. Thank goodness we're in the New Testament where it's not literal, but it's physical. It's spiritual. It can be physical and spiritual. And we're going to look at those. So in verse 1, it says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, who giveth of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. That was the law. They would be put to death, stoned until they died. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do in any way hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not. See, if you don't obey that law, there's even consequences for that. Then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that play the harlot after him to commit harlotry or whoredom with Molech from among their people. Now, in the Old Testament, the godless people who worshipped false gods had an idol. It was called Molech, or they sacrificed to the god called Molech. By sacrificing their children, they would bring their firstborn children. Remember, God said the firstborn. Mm-hmm. So in order to please the false god, Satan, they would sacrifice their firstborn children to get in good graces with that god. And it was, I looked it up, and it's a stone edifice, and it's half man, half animal. And its arms are outstretched like this. And they would, and there was a fire at the feet, fire. So the hands are over the fire. And when they would sacrifice their babies, they would bring them and put them in the hands of that idol. And those babies would burn to death. Now, this happened outside the gates of whatever city they were in. And they would put people at the gates to beat drums to drown out the sound of the babies dying, being burned to death. So, today, modern day Molech is abortion. In fact, the way they kill that the fetus, the baby, that child, the way they kill it is with a saline solution which burns the baby. No different. And as we look at this, it says, and if the people of the land do any way hide their eyes, I mean, we drive past places all the time that are performing abortions. Now, a lot of them, we don't know that's what they're doing. They're under a nice name, like family planning, or some other name, some kind of clinic, women's clinic, where abortions are being done. They've made it legal in our land, and yet we have turned our faces. Now, we don't like it. You know, we vote for people, and some of them are in agreement with abortion. We can't do anything our own selves about it. We wouldn't want to vote for someone who agrees with abortion. So America is under a curse because of this. And so, Father, we just ask you to forgive this country for the shedding of innocent blood. We repent of that for America, because we don't want to fall under that curse. But there, this is one of the things, like when we talk about our ancestors, there are secrets, you know, just like the molestation. Things are kept secret because, well, in her case, she didn't want to hurt anybody, but it's like families have people in the family that they know good and well have abused, you know, all the little girls in the family. We may talk about our grandpas. He was very well respected. He was the best at what he did, and la, 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 la. But nobody ever says, but but he's molested all the grandchildren. That part is kept secret. And Satan has his greatest power in the area of our secrets. Amen. That's why I encourage people, don't keep any secrets, because that's where Satan is going to have his greatest power in your life. He will spiritually blackmail you. He will keep you from the plans and purposes that God has for you. I call that spiritual blackmail. So, the word death, be put to death. Now, back then, they stoned them till they died. Today, it could be, could be a disease that's incurable. It could be death to relationships.
Spiritual stoning.
It could be a death not ever being brought into reality, a ministry that God has given you, not being able to use your gifts and your talents that God's given you. Die. Death. Your finances. Losing jobs all the time. You know, we wouldn't connect the dots back to something like that. But this is how it works. It reaps out. And so, as we go through these things, I want you to be examining yourself. Because we might think that it's a demon problem when it's actually a curse, a death curse. Okay, so we're going to say lots of prayers of repentance. Let me make sure I'm through with that. Molech, okay. So if you've been involved in any way, we need to repent. Now, it could be generationally, like I was suffering a lot of manifestations from the spirit of abortion when I had never had an abortion, never thought about an abortion, never was a part of anything to do with abortion. But I was suffering, I had manifestations of the abortion spirit because, and I found this out through my mother. My grandmother was abandoned at birth. And any time a woman gets pregnant and it's outside of a marriage and a blessed event, great fear enters that woman. Because all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? People are going to find out. And, you know, well, today it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's become celebrated almost. My grandmother was abandoned at birth, so you know that her mother didn't want her. She was given away. And then my grandmother had an abortion, tried to abort my mother, told my mother when she was a 14-year-old girl, I tried to abort you when I was pregnant with you. Can you imagine what that does to a person? But it made my grandmother felt guilty about it, so it relieved her guilt when she told my mother. Then she didn't have to carry the guilt anymore. So now I know why I was having migraine headaches. You can have migraine headaches. You can be sterile. You can have miscarriages. Your baby can be born dead. There's all kinds of things that are the result of abortion. Now, with each one of these, I'm probably going to stop and say that if you want to know more about what all comes with abortion, I did a teaching called Secret Sins. It's here. You can order it through Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, or you can go to lhbconline.com and scroll down to my name and then just scroll through the titles. It's on page one. Just to make it simple for you. I'm learning this because I'm having to scroll it all the time looking when I want to refer somebody to it. It's called Secret Sins, and that will bring you through all the understanding you need to know about abortion and then deliverance at the end. Okay, so today we're going to repent. So let's all pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. And I forgive my ancestors for the sin of abortion. I ask you to forgive me for murder and the shedding of innocent blood. I break all ties with abortion. I break ties with all those Having any part in it.
See,
because the curse doesn't just fall on the person that has it. If you loan them money, if you drove them to the clinic, if you knew about it and didn't stop it, that's what the word said, then there are consequences. I send their souls and spirits back to them.
I send their souls and spirits back to them.
And I call my soul and spirit back from them.
I call my soul and spirit back from them.
Cleansed and sanctified.
Cleansed and sanctified.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
By the blood of Jesus Christ.
And I ask you to restore my soul.
And I ask you to restore my soul.
And heal my mind.
And heal my mind.
I forgive them.
I forgive them.
Father, I ask you to go to the baby.
Father, I ask you to go to the baby.
This is helpful if you've had one. And tell him or her, that I am sorry. And ask him or her to forgive me
for the part I played
in ending
his or her
life. I now break the curse of
death
off my life.
Because
see, if you have an abortion or if it could be in the bloodline, there's a death sentence on your life that may work itself out in those ways, like I said. Maybe it's disease, maybe it's just never being able to find a job, never being able to get married, never being able to have children. You know, there's a lot of things. Okay. I break the curse of death
that
came upon me
and
all mankind through Adam and Eve's disobedience
and
rebellion that also caused
all
of mankind
to be born
separated
from God
and in need of a Savior.
I break the curse of death
that came upon me
through
the participation of abortion and murder. And I command
the
spirit of murder
and death
to leave
me
in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's
just take a deep breath. Out. All spirits of death and murder, get out. Anger and rage, murderous rage, go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ,
I
bind the spirit of murder
and
break its power
and
command the spirit of murder to leave me now. In the name of Jesus Christ, murder, go. Father,
I now forgive myself.
I thank you for your shed and resurrected blood
that
makes it possible
for me to be forgiven
when I repent
and
to cleanse me
of
all unrighteousness
and
make me whole again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, let's go to verse 6. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to play the harlot after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now, I don't know what the word cut off really means, but it can't be good. Okay? To be cut off can't be good. So, that's the second thing that's mentioned. Anytime someone seeks knowledge from another source other than God, God considers it spiritual adultery.
Amen.
Or going to another God. That is what is meant by going a whoring. You are the bride of Christ, and if you go to another God, you're committing adultery.
Right.
Spiritually.
Right.
Okay. Familiar spirits are rooted in the kingdom of darkness, whose king is Satan. Leviticus 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord, your God. Leviticus 20, verse 8. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctified you. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9 says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. See, when they were being delivered out of Egypt and going through all these lands, they were not to take up the practices of those lands. But if you read the Old Testament, you see they did that all the time. All the time. They were in the tabernacle and they were doing their ceremonies and all of that. And then they would go to the groves. You know, I grew up in a city named Groves because it was full of pecan trees, like pecan groves. So they called it Groves. But in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there'll be a good king who did good in the sight of the Lord, and then there would be an evil king who did not good in the sight of the Lord. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they would go to these groves, like I said this morning in prayer, they would have their idols there, the fertility idol, I don't even know what all kind of idols that were there, but they would worship the idols of the false gods, and many of the Hebrews were doing it too. Okay, but God had told them, do not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. Deuteronomy 18:10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. That's abortion. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. So the second thing is consulting or going to anyone that uses powers from the kingdom of darkness, having familiar spirits. Now, you've probably seen, back in the day, when Johnny Carson was the late night show, and he would have a guest, and that guest could read minds. And so he would tell just pick a random person out of the crowd, stand up, and take your driver's license out. And so the guy is standing there with his wallet, and several people are looking over his shoulder. And then the guest begins to read the address, the driver's license number, and everybody's just wowed. That is the use of familiar spirits. Because this man has a divination spirit, and the person out there has his spirit, a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is somebody that's familiar with you. They've been in the family line forever. They're familiar with all these people in your family. So his familiar spirit is behind him. And, of course, in the spirit realm, we can't see him or hear him. But that demon is saying, 338 Main Street. And he goes, 338 Main Street. Because that spirit is looking at it, telling it to this spirit. This spirit is telling him. That's how familiar spirits work. And everybody is all amazed. You know these shows like Crossing Over? They're talking to your dead loved one. Well, somebody out there stands up, and the guy over here, you lost somebody. So the familiar spirit is saying, Aunt Sue died. Her Aunt Sue, she was real close to her Aunt Sue. And Aunt Sue had a little dog named Puff. So the guy says, somebody here has an Aunt Sue that died that you were very close to. She had a little puppy named Puff. It's me! You know? And they're all wowed and think that this is some great... And these people will say, this is a gift from God. No, it's not. It's a gift from the kingdom of darkness. See, it's a word of knowledge in the evil kingdom. Works the same way. God's gift, Satan counterfeits everything God does. They get words of knowledge. They have these familiar spirits. Listen, when my son went into rebellion, he was stealing, he was doing drugs, he was lying, drinking, watching pornography. He was in trouble. And we had moved way out in the woods, and none of my family was in favor of that. So when trouble came, y'all need to move away from that place. Y'all need to go. He needs a fresh start somewhere. Well, I have been learning about demons. Can I tell you? Demons are everywhere. They're in the city. They're in the country. They're in the White House. And they're in the poorhouse. They're under the bridges. They're in castles. And I tried to explain to them, listen, this is the explanation. When you learn about familiar spirits, you can start understanding, oh, that's how that happened. You know, you hear about people going back to their class reunions. Their first love. Probably the first person they had sex with. And they got a soul tie that's been there forever. And that old familiar spirit. And it doesn't even matter what they look like now. They could be hideous, but those demons, that lust and all that. I mean, I'm telling you, it's real. But what I would say about my son, oh yeah, we could go to a new city. They could be in the gymnasium, first day of school, 1,000 kids in there. And Kyle could be there with all his familiar spirits. And there could be one other person in that gymnasium that does all the things that he does. And he's way over there, 1,000 people away. And they're all in there with, and if we could see up here, oh my goodness. If we could see in the spirit realm. But Kyle's got all his thieving, drugging, smoking, drinking, porn, demons all around him. And that other one person is way over there and they're going, hey. And all of a sudden, you start getting maneuvered through the crowd. That's why when I pray for the generational curses, and I give lead to those familiar spirits that are trying to guide you in ways contrary to the plans and purposes God has for you. So they spot each other. Christmas parties, office Christmas parties. There can be one unhappy couple and another unhappy couple, and this husband and that wife end up going to bed together. Strangers, total strangers. And you think, how in the world did that happen? Or people are looking for a mate, somebody who's been, let's say they had an abusive daddy, and they were treated cruelly, and somebody else had a cruel daddy. The man had a cruel daddy. The woman had a cruel daddy. Those familiar spirits, you know why they want to get you together? There's strength in numbers. So here comes the man and here comes the woman, and they just bump into each other at the line in the grocery store. Well, I was abused when I was little. Me too. And this and this and this. Me too. Wow, we have so much in common. This must be safe.
Wow.
And it's a satanic setup straight from the pit of hell.
Right.
Wow. Those familiar spirits are real. They're real. God doesn't like that. It's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. Okay? I'll tell you one about familiar spirits. Okay, because, you know, you're growing up, you go to a little slumber party, you got to play Mirror, Mirror, or Merry Mirror. I never played any of those. I don't know what it was in me. I was scared to death of any of that stuff. They drank out a Ouija board, I'm calling my daddy. You got to come get me. I just knew it was evil. I could look at it and know it was evil. Light as a feather, something else. I don't even know what all those things are. No, you're not touching me. No way. I was scared to death of all of that stuff.
No way.
Okay. Ouija boards, palm readers, take inventory now, psychics. You know that there's a commercial on TV that's talking about, it's a book that can teach you how to soul travel or spirit travel. It's astral projecting, it's witchcraft, flat out from the kingdom of darkness. Call 1-800-LOVE-GOD. Now, see how deception. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that in the last days, deception, that is a healthy fear to have. That's why you need to know the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, you're not likely to be deceived. It's going to be so slick that even the very elite, and if the days weren't shortened, there would no flesh be saved. That's slick. Deception is deceiving. Horoscopes, any kind of that stuff, going to mediums, they have familiar spirits. And it says you're going to be cut off. That's not good. So there was a little boy that came here one time. He had a spirit. He was talking to people in the house. The parents said, he's talking to people in the house we can't see. He's caught our house on fire 3 times. And now he's threatening to murder the little sister. That's serious. And when I first got here, God pointed him out, told me he had an ancient spirit. Because he could pontificate on things that no 9-year-old can know. He has a familiar spirit, an ancient spirit that had knowledge from ever ago. And so he came and sat right in that chair the last day. And as the Lord began to talk to me, I said, okay, Lord, I'd like to have another chance to pray for this little boy. So the last morning he came and sat right in that chair. And we were praying up here. When it was over, I was going to eat breakfast, and I walked by him, and I rustled his hair, and I said, how are you today? And he said, well, actually, I was waiting for you. He had a seductive spirit. And I said, really? So I backed up and sat down. I said, well, what were you waiting on me for? Well, I thought we could have a meal together today. And I said, okay, you got a date. I said, but can I pray for you before I go? I said, I want to pray for you about that ancient spirit. I said, now I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the spirit. So I said, I'm speaking to that ancient spirit. He goes, you want to know what his name is? Bob. I said, okay. I'm speaking to Bob then. You want to know how he got there? I said, okay. Now I don't usually do this, but I wanted to know. But you know, demons are liars, so can you believe them? He told me that his mom was laying on the bed playing with a Ouija board. And Bob came out of the Ouija board and came into him. That's how I got that from his spirit. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I continued to pray for him. And then I went to the mother. And I said, I heard something interesting this morning. Told her what he had said. I had to catch her. She just like collapsed almost. I said, what is it? She said, there's no way he could have known that. I was pregnant with him.
Wow.
Now that'll put you to thinking.
Wow.
Babies don't just start thinking and everything when they're born. They get, you know what develops first in the baby? The brain. And the baby also has a spirit. And they know. They hear. They know. They know things. Yeah, that spirit went right into that baby. And when I teach on pornography, I say, you know, men and women, you go, after everybody's asleep, you sneak to your computer, and you think you're not hurting anybody, but you're not hurting anybody. You're an adult. You ought to be able to, you know, you're not hurting anybody. But while you're sitting there, those spirits are coming out and roaming through the house and attaching themselves to your children.
Yep.
Those seducing spirits, perversion, homosexuality, lesbianism, depending on what you're watching. It's a world of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you do affects somebody else.
Yeah,
these practices were forbidden by God and still are. And yet people, even some Christians, have gone to practices using familiar spirits or demonic entities. Paul says it this way in the book of Romans, Romans 1:28, and even if they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or fit, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, or those disloyal to God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. You know, the scripture that used to be one of my favorites was Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People need to know. People need to know. People need to know. People need to be taught. People need to know. But one day, the second part of that stuck out to me. Because you rejected knowledge. Uh-oh. When you reject knowledge, it says you will be no priest to me, and I will forget your children. That's serious. They were in total disregard of God and their behaviors, or you could say they hardened their hearts against God. Do you know that every time you are disobedient to God, you have hardened your heart against God to do what you wanted to do? Lord, forgive me. So, Father, I ask you to forgive me for all the times I harden my heart against you in order to commit sin, to do what I wanted to do. Forgive me for suppressing my conscience, the thing you created in me to know right from wrong. And it should have kept me from sinning against you. I repent. Now, those things you thought of that you've done, repent right now. I repent. I break the power of the curses that came upon me through those sins and through obedience to you. We'll walk in your blessing. You can go to, it was mentioned last night, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, or I don't know when it was mentioned, I lose track. Deuteronomy chapter 28 for a complete list of blessings and curses, and when you read those curses, cursed is your kneading trough and all that stuff, you just start repenting of all those things. Father, I ask you to forgive me for going to those using powers of darkness, familiar spirits, instead of going to you for answers or help. I now command out of me the spirits that came into me when I sought the kingdom of darkness and went to palm readers, psychics, fortune tellers, tarot card readers, Ouija boards, and all other practices that violated you. I break their power and command them to go in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I give leave to the familiar spirits that came with them. Go in the name of Jesus.
Go.
Take a deep breath.
In the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus.
One day my mother said, well, I've never had son or other. I said, did you just knock on wood? That is witchcraft. There's a lot of witchcraft. I do take care of my mother and father-in-law. My father-in-law's in a nursing home now, but some lady had heard that I was taking care of them, and she said, you need to get you some anointed salt and sprinkle it all around your house. And I said, probably won't be doing that. Why not? I got it from a very anointed priest. I said, I checked the Bible. If I didn't see Jesus sprinkling anointed salt or telling me to sprinkle anointed salt, I'm not sprinkling anointed salt. That's witchcraft. If you are trusting in anything and put power in it to do anything other than what God has instructed us, it's witchcraft.
Amen.
Serious trouble. Okay. Verse 9. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother, I touched on this a little bit the other night, shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Now here's the definition of curse. To disrespect. Raise your hand if you never disrespected your parents. Okay? It means make light or bring into contempt. It means to despise. It means to afflict. Did you ever do anything that afflicted your parents, brought grief to them? To reproach, to treat with hateful and contemptuous language, rudeness, to treat shamefully, full of disgrace, insolence, and contemptuous language. That's what it means to curse your mother and father. And you were to be stoned to death. You know the scripture in the Bible, if you have a rebellious and lazy son, a drunkard who won't work, you take him out to the gates of the city and they are to be stoned until they die. I teach that to the children. Aren't you glad we don't live in the Old Testament? And it's the reason it says that, it says in order to put evil away from Israel. That's how much God hates disobedience. He hates it. I bet if the whole city was standing around and some kid was stoned to death for disobeying his parents, next time Mama said, go take the garbage out, they would be jumping to take the garbage out. There would be no, oh, I don't want to. Well, they just saw someone be stoned to death.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.